For our scripture reading this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. We're considering our study of the, or we're continuing our study of the Heidelberg Catechism, coming now to Lord's Day 38, which is concerned with the fourth commandment about keeping the Sabbath day holy. And so in that connection, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, and we will read there the first 14 verses. The first 14 verses of Matthew chapter 12. If you have the Black Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1124. Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the holy and infallible word of our God. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. And thus ends our reading from the Word of God this morning. I invite you also to turn with me in the back of your Blue Psalter hymnal to Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38. You can find this on page 52. Page 52 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. There we have question and answer 103. Lord's Day 38, found on page 52. Here we have the question before us: what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? Answer: first, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. And thus ends our reading from the Catechism. Our text this morning is Matthew 12, more specifically verses 1 through 7, but dealing also with verses 8 through 14. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no commandment which has occasioned as much controversy surrounding its interpretation than the fourth commandment. Years ago, there was actually a man in the Netherlands who wrote that on average there were roughly 10,000 families in that country affected by serious fighting about what was and was not permissible on Sunday. By his calculations, that made for over 500,000 arguments per year on that one topic. While some might then be tempted to question what all this fuss is about and whether or not it's worthy of such argumentation. These arguments arise because of the desire to understand and follow God's law in a way that pleases Him. There are many who allege that there is no sense in which we have a Sabbath, that there is no sense in which we have a special day since the days of Christ. But this idea really fails to deal seriously with the fact that the call to keep a special day is part and parcel of the Ten Commandments. We're not a people of nine commandments, we're a people of ten commandments. Christ also says in the Gospel, He did not come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. So there must be a sense in which the fourth commandment is relevant to us today. And that is what our catechism is seeking to address and what we are considering here this morning. The question of how this commandment applies to us is inescapable for the Christian. So this morning I thought actually that I would take something of a different track. As I'm sure we all know, there are many arguments surrounding the fourth commandment or Sunday and what we are and what we aren't to do. Perhaps more often what we aren't to do. And that we should be resting. How we are to rest, what kind of rest is permitted, and so on and so forth. And while the idea of rest shouldn't be forgotten by us, Jesus teaches us here that there is more to the fourth commandment than just the idea of rest. And that's what I wanted to focus on here. Not that it's solely about rest, but to see also what we are to remember and what we are to enjoy on the Lord's Day, what the fourth commandment is calling for. It's not calling for simply rest, only rest, but more than that. You see, what we have of the Pharisees here in chapter 12, what we have of the Pharisees is, in a sense, a sole focus on rest, an absolutizing of rest. It is the only thing they care about, almost. It's a bit of a caricature, it's a bit of an overstatement, but that's almost what it amounts to. It's only about rest, it's only about that. Don't walk more than a kilometer on the Lord's Day. Don't walk any more than a kilometer on the Sabbath, because more than that is work. You can kill all the lice you want, but you can't kill a flea, because a flea is a predator. And if you kill a predator, that means you're hunting. And if you're hunting, that means you're working. In the occasion of our text, you cannot pluck heads of grain, roll them between your hands, and blow away the chaff, because that is harvesting and that is threshing, which is not permissible on the Sabbath because it's work. That is what the Jews had made of the Sabbath day. A bunch of laws that were filled with different ideas of what you couldn't do and what you could do in order to safeguard the idea of rest. And they'd almost transformed the day into one of inactivity. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it almost amounted to the point of not being able to do anything. And so what Jesus does here is show us that while rest is important, the fourth commandment has other things in mind as well. And that these other things can even take precedence over the rest called for by God in the fourth commandment. So the theme under which we'll consider this passage this morning is that Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, teaches us that the Sabbath is about more than rest. Jesus teaches us that the Sabbath is about more than rest. And we'll see three things here in our passage. First of all, the idea of refreshment. Secondly, the idea of recreation. And third, the idea of restoration. Refreshment, recreation, and restoration. First, we see that the fourth commandment is also very much concerned with refreshment. You have the disciples here walking along on the Sabbath with Jesus. They're likely just outside the city of Capernaum. And as they go, they begin to pluck heads of grain and eat them. They just are walking along and plucking these heads of wheat and rolling them between their fingers, blowing away the chaff and eating them. And the Pharisees are apparently close behind them, watching them, scrutinizing their every move, ready to see or find some way for them to discredit Jesus. In verse 10, we read that they even deliberately tried to get him to break the law in order to have some way to accuse him. They bring the question forward. Is it lawful for a man to heal? They bring it forward because they hope Jesus will do something by which they can accuse him. They're looking for a way to condemn Jesus. They want him to break the law. It's actually quite ironic. On the one hand, they appear so scrupulous for the law, and they seem so concerned that the law is not broken because they're so offended by what his disciples are doing. And yet, just a little while later, they actually are trying to get Jesus to break the law. On the one hand, they seem so concerned, but then on the other hand, well, let's try to get Jesus to do something to break the law. But in any case, seeing the actions of the disciples, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and accuse him. They blame him for what they see his disciples doing. The disciples are busy reaping and threshing, and they're even eating the fruit of their ill-gotten gains. They're eating the fruit of their sins. And here's Jesus just kind of ignoring it, just kind of letting it go on, not bothering to rebuke them. And what is interesting here is that Jesus, in his response to the Pharisees, doesn't so much go after their rabbinical laws and their traditions that the Pharisees are employing here. It was the tradition of the rabbis that you couldn't do this kind of thing on Sunday, or rather, on the Sabbath. There's no law in the Old Testament that says you can't do this. You can't, as a farmer, go out and begin reaping all your grain. But there's nothing to say that walking along, you can't pluck up these grains and eat them. And Jesus knows that, but he doesn't go after their rabbinical traditions. Instead, he mentions a certain story about David. About David as he's on the run from Saul, as we find it in 1 Samuel chapter 21. In this story, David is on the run from Saul. He has his men along with him, and he comes to the city of Nob. And he has nothing to eat. There's nothing for him to eat. And he comes to the priest, who's Ahimelech. And he goes to the priest, trying to find something to eat. Do you have anything to give us that can refresh us, that can feed us, and give us strength to carry on? And Ahimelech tells him that there's nothing for him, nothing at all, except the showbread that was kept in the presence of God on the golden table, and that the Lord said was only to be eaten by the priest. That's the only thing he had. And Ahimelech ends up giving him this bread, which David and his men go on to eat. And Jesus says, aren't you aware of this story? You who so pride yourselves on your knowledge and understanding of the law, aren't you aware of this story? What did David do? He broke the law of God. He broke the law of God, ate what was not his to eat, and yet God never condemns him. God never says he did wrong. God never punishes him. God doesn't come to him and say, you've sinned, you need to repent. God just lets it go. Jesus is pointing out how David's need for refreshment was more important than this particular law, than the application of this law. David broke the law. He broke the law. Jesus is fully admitting that. David broke the law, and he wasn't guilty. Even if we assume, it's as if Jesus is saying, even if we assume that you're right, even if we assume that this is prohibited work, my disciples' actions are unlawful. If that's true, even if that's true, it doesn't matter because their need for refreshment takes precedence over the demands of the law at this point. Here, many talk about how necessity allows for breaking the fourth commandment. For instance, we allow the work of police officers and doctors and nurses and firemen and so forth to do their work on Sunday. We fully allow that. We fully grant that. And we say that they're guiltless. They're not guilty for doing that. Because theirs is a necessary work. Theirs is work that has to be done. If they weren't there, people would die. Houses would burn to the ground. There would be lawlessness. And while the idea of necessity being acceptable, or a necessary work being acceptable to do on the Sabbath, there's more to it here than just that. There's also the stress on refreshment, of revival, of eating and being refreshed. That's the thread that carries from David to his disciples. Jesus is saying that this idea of refreshment, of eating, of having their fill and being refreshed in their bodies is perfectly fine on the Sabbath day. Even if you think it might be work, it's okay because they are refreshing themselves. Again, the Pharisees had turned the Sabbath day into a huge burden on the people. It was filled with prescriptions and rules that turned the day into a rest of lifeless, joyless inactivity. But Jesus lets his disciples get away with plucking wheat and eating it, even though they could have maybe prepared food the day before and brought it along with them. Or maybe they could have waited until they arrived in Capernaum, which we see very shortly in verses 9 and following. He could have waited until they got there. Peter's mother-in-law lived in Capernaum. They could have gone to her house and said, "Hey, Mom, what do you have to eat?" And yet, despite that, the disciples are walking along, eating, refreshing themselves, even if it may have been wrong. Because there's the idea of being refreshed. And that is something that is acceptable on the Lord's Day. It is about rest, and it is about refreshment. A time to enjoy God's blessings, to appreciate His good gifts, to look at the bounty that the Lord has provided, and to enjoy it. The very word for Sabbath, the very word itself, doesn't only mean to rest. It actually means to be refreshed. Also, in Exodus 31, the Lord speaks about the Sabbath day and how Israel needs to keep it. And as He speaks in Exodus 31, He says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." The Lord didn't just rest, so to speak, on the seventh day, but He refreshed Himself. He looked at all that His hands have made, and He gloried in what His hands have made, and it's good and it's beautiful, and He enjoyed beholding these things. He refreshed Himself. And that's the very idea behind the fourth commandment. Not just rest, but refreshment. And what we find in verses 1 through 14 is that this refreshment is both physical and spiritual. The disciples are feeding themselves, refreshing themselves, as they walk along the road. But then what do they do next? They come to a city. They come to Capernaum, and they enter in the synagogue. They enter into the synagogue where God's people would gather together to worship Him and to praise His name and to hear His word. In other words, the refreshment of the Sabbath day is both about being refreshed in our bodies, of taking the time to rest and relax and to enjoy good food, to enjoy those good blessings of God, and also to refresh ourselves in the presence of God with His people. It's the idea that Sunday is not to be a Saturday with a little bit of God thrown in. It's the idea that it is a special time, a special day of refreshment, physical and spiritual refreshment. In other words, we should perhaps be asking ourselves whether or not ours is a distinctive rest and refreshment on Sunday. That's what is in mind here, a distinctive rest and refreshment. A distinctive enjoying the blessings of God, of giving thanks to Him, of enjoying all His many blessings and glorying in them. It's the idea that Sunday is not to be a little vacation with church thrown in. We shouldn't be going to church on Sunday and then filling up the rest of the day with all our normal everyday activities. We all need to think about how this is a day with a distinctive difference. A distinctive difference in what we do and what we enjoy, what we give thanks to God for. And most particularly, whether or not we're keeping God in mind. We see in the second place that the Sabbath and the fourth commandment are about recreation. We have rest, we have refreshment, and now also recreation. Not recreation, but recreation. Often that's what people make of their Sundays too. It's a day of recreation. But no, Jesus is showing us here it's also about recreation. In His response to the Pharisees, He also says in verse 5, "Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" He appeals to a second piece of evidence. He appeals to a second piece of evidence that says that the breaking of the Sabbath is okay in another way. It's okay to break it in another way, particularly by the priests, who are guiltless for their work. The priests must work on the Sabbath day. In this case, a higher law, Jesus is saying. There's a higher law, a higher calling, a greater calling that modifies and restricts the emphasis on a day of rest. There is a work, Jesus is saying, that is acceptable on the day of rest. The work of priests. The priests had to make atonement for the people. They had to change the showbread. They had to pray for the people and so on and so forth. In other words, even a cheap way in which the Sabbath becomes a day of rest, one of the ways that the Sabbath becomes a day of rest is by the work and the ministry of God's own people or God's own servants on that day. And even more, what Jesus is saying here is that it's our day of rest, but it's God's day of work. It's our day of rest, but it's God's day of work through His service. After all, Numbers 28, verse 25, and Leviticus 23, verse 3, tell us that the Sabbath is a day of solemn rest, a day of holy convocation. That word convocation means assembly, gathering together. The Sabbath is not only a day of solemn rest, but a day of holy convocation. The Old Testament ties together resting and gathering together as God's people to praise His name, to glorify Him. That the Sabbath is a day of God's work of recreation. We see that also in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, we see that the Sabbath was also the customary day to seek out the prophet of God. In 2 Kings 4, verse 23, we have the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman in Elisha's day, the one that Elisha would often visit and stay with, and who Elisha prayed for them, and she had a child, and that child ended up dying, and Elisha came and brought the child back to life. That Shunammite woman. And this woman goes out one day, and she tells her husband, "I'm going to see the prophet." And her husband responds by saying, "Why are you going to go see the prophet? It's not the Sabbath. Why are you going to go there? That's what Sabbath is for. Sabbath is for going and hearing the prophet, hearing the word of God." That was a practice that was also carried on to Jesus' day with the synagogue and the synagogue worship, which we see in verse 9 and following. It was on the Sabbath that the Jews would go to synagogue to worship God and hear His word. So in other words, what we're being shown here by Jesus is that this day called for by the fourth commandment is a special day that particularly belongs completely to the Lord. It's a day for the Lord's work. This is part of the reason for our strong emphasis on two worship services. Because it is a day, the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Israel also had morning and evening sacrifices, as we see in Exodus 29 and Numbers 28. They bracketed the day with two offerings, one in the morning, one in the evening. Psalm 92 is termed a psalm for the Sabbath day. And it declares, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness in the night." The fourth commandment was all about the day being God's. It's not our day, it's God's day. And so the priests are guiltless for doing the Lord's work, just as ministers are today working and are able to work on Sunday. And now, why does God want His servants to be at work? Why does the Lord command His servants to be at that work and say that they're guiltless for breaking the Sabbath? Because it is particularly His day of working recreation in us. It's a day upon which God is especially concerned to come to us and to work in our hearts and lives. This is the same emphasis we find in our catechism. "Especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor." The Lord's Day is a gift from God so that He might confirm us in our salvation, speak loving and tender words to our hearts, to those of us who are His beloved children, to teach us how to live, to encourage us to heartfelt service, to pour out His grace upon us in Jesus Christ, to remove all our guilt and comfort us in the midst of our troubles. It is the one day, just think about it, one day when you can hear God speak to you, one day where you can be spiritually fed in a way that is different from every other, one day where you can come and be lifted for a time out of the ash heap, out of the darkness of this world, to glimpse the glory and majesty of Christ and to receive the love of God in an amazing way. It is this one day that is to carry us through the rest of the week. It is the one day that God set apart for us, but for Himself, so that He can come to us and recreate us, mold us into the image of His beloved Son. This is why the priests and ministers are guiltless for breaking the Sabbath, because this is the Lord's concern, to come to us and be at work in us in a special, significant way to bless us. It is God's day. We call it the Lord's Day for a reason. It is for His recreative work. It's not for our recreation. It's for His recreation. We don't want to deny that Sunday is for our physical rest and refreshment. Sunday, we have to acknowledge that. In the fourth commandment, it says, you are to cease from your labors. You are to stop working. You are to have physical rest. But even more than that, we should never forget that it is for our spiritual blessing and strength, for our spiritual refreshment and recreation. If Sunday worship is a drag for you, if it is just a downer, if you roll out of bed on Sunday and say, oh, I have to get ready for church, if you cannot in some sense say with David in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, then you likely fail to appreciate how much a gift this day is and how special a day is that God comes to us on this day unlike every other. We don't want to deny the blessings God gives us through the week. We read the Bible with our families at the dinner table. We read it with our children at their bedsides. We pray with them. The Lord ministers to us in those moments as well. But Sunday is a day in which the Lord is at work unlike every other. It's a day of rest for us, but it's a day of work for God in us. We need to appreciate how special this day is, how good it is for us, how wonderful it is to have God working when we are resting. But finally, we are also to see that this Sabbath day is one of restoration. Beginning with verse 6, Jesus declares, I say to you that in this place there is one greater than a temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In His response to the Pharisees, Jesus also makes an argument from the lesser to the greater. If the priests are guiltless for breaking the Sabbath because of their ministry in the temple, how can the disciples' activity be wrong when they are in the service and the work of one who is greater than the temple, who is God Himself with us, the Word in the flesh, Word in flesh? How can my disciples be guilty for serving me when the priests are guiltless for serving the Lord in the temple? I am greater than that temple. So my disciples are guiltless in breaking, hypothetically perhaps, but breaking these laws. The Pharisees condemn the disciples because they reject the Christ. They refuse to acknowledge Him, see who He is, And so they condemn his disciples. But Jesus says, no, they're okay because they're working for me. And in the second place, what the Pharisees fail to realize is the desire God has for kindness, love, mercy, and pity. Jesus says, you condemn them because you don't understand this saying, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. First and foremost, in the Pharisees' mind when it came to the Sabbath, was rest. That was all that it was about, rest. And all the rules and the regulations that put a fence around it so that the rest was maintained. But by doing that, Jesus says, by doing what you do, by saying what you say, by all these rules, what you are doing is you are effectively ruling out mercy. You are ruling out love. In your interpretation and application of this commandment, you are in a way creating a way in which to break other commandments. Jesus makes that argument elsewhere in the Gospels. He says, well, you say to people, if you dedicate this money to God, you can say, well, I don't have to care for my parents, even though they're broke and dying, because, well, it's the Lord, so I don't have to help them. And Jesus says, you break the commandment to honor your father and mother simply because you're trying to uphold a different one. They're doing the same thing here. By your rules and your regulations, you're actually breaking other commandments. You're not loving your neighbor. You're creating ways in which you can kind of thumb your nose at your neighbor and say, well, I can't help you today. Sorry, you might be really hurting, but I'm not going to do anything for you. Oh, you're starving? Well, I can't make a meal because it's the Sabbath, so sorry, you're going to have to starve for today. Oh, you broke down, you need some help, your cart is sitting there in the middle of the road? Sorry, I can't lift that up, it's the Sabbath day, you're going to have to leave it there, and even if it gets stolen, well, too bad for you. With all their rules, they had turned the Sabbath into a day of being mean to people, of being unloving to people, of being unhelpful. And Jesus is saying, you're completely missing what God desires. God wants mercy. God wants love. God wants caring, kind people. And even if that means you do work on the Sabbath, that's acceptable. It is a day for mercy, love, and kindness. And that's what Jesus shows very clearly to his disciples and all the people next in verses 9 through 14. There's a man with a crippled hand. There's a man with a crippled hand. And the Pharisees are asking, well, is it lawful to heal? After everything you said, is it lawful to heal? And Jesus says, you guys don't get it. I can't believe you. You still don't get it. You'll rescue a sheep out of the pit. And here you are, and perhaps you'll say, well, he doesn't need to be healed today. You can tell him to come back tomorrow. And Jesus is saying, no. This is a day for mercy. This is a day for acts of kindness and love. And so Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And it's healed, as well as the other. Even though perhaps it didn't need to be done. It could have waited another day. His life wasn't in danger. And Jesus says, no, it's still perfectly acceptable. This is a day for mercy and love and kindness and help. And I'm going to heal this man because the Sabbath is also about restoration. This is a point Jesus presses home again and again throughout his ministry. If you read through the Gospels, you see how many times Jesus does this kind of action on the Sabbath day. In Mark 1, Jesus cast out a demon on the Sabbath. Luke 4 says that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law on the Sabbath. Luke 13, he makes a debilitated woman able to walk straight again. Luke 14 says he heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath day. The paralyzed man in John 5, who's let down from the roof, is healed on the Sabbath and takes his mat and walks. He also makes the blind to see on the Sabbath, creating a paste with the mud and his saliva and putting it on the man's eyes. Again and again and again, Jesus would do things, he would do miracles, he would heal people on the Sabbath day. And for the majority of them, you can look at them and say, it's not even necessary. He could have done that tomorrow. He could have waited until the next day. He could have said, follow me along for about 12 hours, and when Monday rolls around, or rather in that case, Sunday rolls around, then I'll do it for you. He says, no, I'm going to do it now. Even though it's the Sabbath, even though it could be understood as work and seen as work, I'm going to do it because this day is about restoration. Just think about it for a moment as well for us who celebrate or who worship on the Sabbath, on Sunday. What did Jesus do on the first day of the week when he rose from the dead? What did he do? He brought healing and restoration to the whole world. He ushered in the rest of God. The rest which is complete freedom from sin and from death and decay. His resurrection on the first day of the week is a sign of the restoration of God coming upon the world to his people. A sign of the restoration to come in the new heavens and the new earth where there's no sickness or pain or death or suffering. In fact, Jesus' whole ministry points to himself being the Lord of Sabbath, Lord of the Sabbath, the very one who not only interprets it properly, but fulfills it and embodies it for you and me. Who works that we may rest? Jesus did. Who died for us so that we may be fresh? We may be refreshed by streams of living water and bread from heaven? Jesus. Who came into the world, became like us, so that we might be recreated and remade in his image? Jesus. Who brings us into the final rest of no pain or sickness or decay or death? Jesus. The whole fourth commandment is about Jesus and what he gives us. And our enjoyment of the special day God calls us to do is all about the enjoyment of the manifold blessings of Jesus Christ, of being refreshed in him, of resting in him, of being recreated in his image, of being restored in him. It is all about a special day of intentionally and self-consciously seeking to glory and enjoy and receive the blessings of Christ. This is one reason why I think it's better to refer to Sunday as the Lord's Day rather than as the Sabbath. We're celebrating the fulfillment of all the signs and shadows. We're celebrating the fulfillment of Christ's work. This is Christ's day. This is a day to enjoy his blessings. This is not the Sabbath of signs and shadows. This is the day of the fulfillment when we commemorate his resurrection and the ushering in of the rest of God. Is enjoying all the blessings that Christ has to give us. But I also want to point out one other thing for us, for you and I, that Jesus makes clear to us. And that is that the Lord's Day is a day in which it's fully fitting and appropriate for us to be engaged in acts of mercy. The Lord's Day is a day in which work, a certain kind of work, is appropriate. In some respects, it's a sad thing that there's been a tendency among us to always focus upon the rules. In many ways, we can follow the Pharisees and say, we need to safeguard rest. We need to rest, we need to rest, we need to rest. And so here's a list of 30 things in order to make sure we're resting. And what Jesus is showing us here is that there is actually work that is acceptable, even though it means we aren't resting. Jesus asks the Pharisees, after he heals the man, he asks them, or he says beforehand, before he heals, he asks them, even though it may mean you're working on the Sabbath, are you to do good? Are you to do good, even though it means you will work on Sunday? And the answer is yes. You are permitted to work on the Lord's Day, to work for our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the idea that as those who have this day set apart for enjoying the rest and the restoration and the refreshment and the recreation, as those who enjoy all these things, The Lord's Day is also an opportunity for us to display that and give that to each other. To take the blessings with which we are blessed and to bless others. There is a sense in which it is permissible for us to work on the Lord's Day. That's not to turn it into another work day. That's not to fill it up then with going here and going there and doing this and doing that. But it is to say it is appropriate and glorifying to Jesus Christ to do things on this day that may be work, but which communicate the goodness and the grace and the love of God. The Lord's Day is not only a day of rest, but a day of refreshment and recreation and restoration and of doing good to others so that they may know the blessings of Christ. And where we are led to go with all this is to glorify God for this gift of a Sabbath day. A gift of the Lord's Day. It is truly a gift. It is a sad thing as well that it is often something that leaves us very aggravated. Oh, another Sunday. I wish I could just have a vacation. I don't want a Sunday, I want a vacation. And yet it is the Lord's Day that is above all to be cherished by us more than even a vacation. More than just going out somewhere and going away from our work and enjoying all the rides and the fun and everything else. This is the Lord's Day, the best day of rest. Day of all the week, the best emblem of eternal rest. O day of rest and gladness. O day of joy. Day of life. This is what we celebrate. This is what is for us this day. So may we appreciate the gift that this day is. And may we spend it with one another and with the Lord. Enjoying this mighty salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ.